2-2. Mendick lifts this one to left center, and it's caught by Duran to end the game. It's the Red Sox coming from behind to win it 6-4 in 10 innings. And the White Sox will split with Boston. Both teams taking two games each in this four-game series.
That's how it sounded on NBC Sports Chicago. Heard the voice there of John Shriven. And you have, for many years, been hearing the voice of our guest here on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, CircaLasVegas.com. Guest on the hotline right now is Steve Stone. You can find him on X at Steve Stone, the voice of your Chicago White Sox. Stoney, how are you doing this evening?
Everything is fine. I'm sitting in Arizona where it's a cool 103 right now, but it's a dry heat, so that's okay.
That's what they say. I mean, it could be 150 degrees, and someone will find that silver lining and say, well, yeah, it's a dry heat.
It's the surface of the sun, but it's dry. Yeah.
Right. It's a dry blaze from the sun itself. Mm-hmm. One of the questions I'm going to put out to listeners a little bit later in the evening here is about the various stadiums in town here, you know, because there's been so much news about the White Sox and their stadium, the Bears and their stadium, and we just have such historic sporting venues in Chicago. You've, of course, gotten to check out both sides of town from a baseball perspective and been all over the globe covering and playing that sport. But just in general, do you have sort of a, I guess if you could remove any bias, is there sort of a peak stadium atmosphere or stadium experience here in Chicago that you've experienced over your years around town?
Well, certainly. Look, I think stadiums are really nice when you take a look, and if you keep it modern, then you have all the modern conveniences, and the fans can really enjoy themselves. And I think we're going to see in the not-too-distant future, we're going to see gambling in individual seats. Man. We're going to see a whole lot of innovations as far as that's concerned. I love the old Chicago Stadium, and you know, I think one of the reasons that you gravitate to these teams and love these teams is the team. And then the facility becomes terrific. I mean, if the Bulls finished last every year, if Michael Jordan never got there, if all the championships, the six of them, never happened, would everything be as great as it was at Chicago Stadium? I mean, it was really nice, but if you never win, you don't enjoy it quite as much. Because going to a game when your team is good and knowing you not only have a good chance to beat the other team, but you expect to beat the other team, that makes the total experience into a great experience, and that includes the stadium. So assuming that eventually we get to the point where every one of these teams is competitive enough to win a championship on a yearly basis, I think people will enjoy the stadiums more.
Yeah, it certainly does feel like that ends up enhancing the atmosphere when there are reasons to cheer for the home squad. There's no doubt about that. And for me, because I tend to spend more time traveling from football stadium to football stadium, you know, I've certainly been to both of the baseball stadiums here in town. And for my time with the Lions, I was at Comerica Park the initial couple of seasons. That opened up. Been over to Milwaukee, but I haven't been to as many professional baseball stadiums. For where Guaranteed Rate Field is at the moment, I mean, how would you compare it, contrast it with some of the other baseball stadiums out there?
Well, I think it's really difficult to do that because the fan experience at Guaranteed Rate is really nice. I mean, the food is terrific. I think anybody who has eaten there at a number of different of the kiosks will tell you that, you know, the food is really good. Mm-hmm. So that part of it is outstanding. I think from a sight line basis, I think it's pretty good also. So the viewing experience is good. The baseball recently has not been good. And so that kind of diminishes the experience. But, you know, the best thing that I can see is when parents bring their sons and daughters to the ballpark. They obviously, if they're young enough, they want to deal heavily in the concession stands. But if they're old enough to appreciate baseball, they'll still get the concession stands, but they'll watch the game and they'll get enthralled by it and they'll gravitate to various players. And the reason why I love to see the young people coming to any stadium, regardless of what it is that it perpetuates the sport. And more young people bringing brought being brought to the sport at an earlier age means that they're going to be baseball fans as they grow up and as they have their kids and bring them to the park. And then the game, again, perpetuates itself. So I like seeing a lot of young people coming to the various ballparks and having a really good time there and root for whatever team you want to root for. I mean, people come up to me and said, you know, I really like you during the course of your career, but I'm a Cardinal fan or I'm a Philly fan. And I tell them the same thing. It doesn't really matter what team you are a fan of. As long as you really enjoy baseball and you take your offspring to the ballpark, take your sons and daughters, your grandsons and granddaughters. If you have any great grandchildren, take them also, because again, when they get infatuated with this sport, it can only help the sport.
Yeah, my wife is from New England, so she grew up a huge Red Sox fan. We go check them out anytime they come to town. We have to make sure we get out to Red Sox versus White Sox. We're a house divided when that takes place, and that was the case yesterday. So my son got the helmet nachos. We went up to the kids' zone. He raced against Luis Robert upstairs there. Yeah, we had a grand old time. So people look at me like I got three heads when I tell them, you know what? I mean, yeah, everybody wants an upgrade here, but the current ballpark isn't half bad. Steve Stone, my guest here on The Score. So on the field a little bit, a couple of days ago, in the midst of the 13 and 14 game skid, you had a vibe, and you ended up being right that the losing streak was about to come to an end with Garrett Crochet taking the mound. What was it about the, you know, not just Crochet, but the opponent, the evening itself, where you were pretty confident things were about to turn for the Sox?
Well, actually, I was talking to an investor who happens to be one of the investors, one of the owners of the Bulls, as well as the White Sox. Her name is Mickey Norton. She's a wonderful woman who loves sports and goes to every Blackhawk game, every Bull game, every Sox game, and spends the entire game there, never leaves early. And so it was Thursday night, and she said to me, are we going to win tonight? And I said, Mickey, we can win tonight, but we won't. We're going to get killed tonight. But I'll leave you with some good news. We're going to win the game tomorrow. So this is a guarantee for you. We're going to get killed tonight. We are going to win the game tomorrow. And then what will be a 14-game losing streak will come to an end. And she said, how do you know that? And I said, I don't know, but that's what's going to happen. So you're going to really hate tonight's game, and you're going to really love tomorrow's game. So enjoy. And that's exactly kind of how that happened. So I decided the night before then to go a step further and mention on the broadcast that the losing streak will come to an end tomorrow. And so it did.
And it played out really well, and then it ended up being back-to-back games that the Sox won. For Crochet in particular, you know, it seems that he and Luis Robert both have their names being bandied about in trade rumors on a pretty consistent basis here. Do you anticipate that the Sox may do anything in relation to, I mean, there's already been a plan in place to monitor the innings and the pitch count of Garrett Crochet. How do you think they'll handle that moving forward with him being the most effective arm that they tend to trot out there when he gets his starts?
I think that they're going to be very careful with Garrett because he's never been a major league starting pitcher before. And when you go into a season realizing that it's going to be a full season for a starting pitcher, assuming you go every fifth day, is right around 32 starts. And when you do that, you're liable, if you're a pretty good pitcher and a durable pitcher and your name is not Snell, you're liable to get up to 200 innings. And so I think they're going to take that way down for Garrett because he's a very valuable commodity and the Sox want to protect him. Now, when you say that there's been trade rumors, that's a couple of words linked together, and rumors means just that. They are rumors. I appreciate what Chris is doing because I think Chris Getz is doing it right. When you're where the Sox are right now, you shouldn't have any untouchables because you don't have to trade these guys. There is no fire sale, especially on those two guys. But you want to listen to what everybody has to tell you. Specifically the Baltimore Orioles, if they can line up a trade with them, because they have one of the best farm systems in all of baseball. They're very deep. They're very talented. And a lot of teams want to make a trade with them. And coincidentally, they're looking for pitchers. And the Sox have a few that they will certainly listen. And, you know, you go back to the early times of baseball, you realize that Babe Ruth was sold to the Yankees. It turned out to be, if not the greatest player ever, certainly one of the top few. and yet he was moved. And there's been a lot of guys, and people don't realize. I'm sure you've heard of Roberto Clemente and how good he was. He was a Rule 5 draft. Do you know that anybody in baseball could have had him for, I think at the time it was anywhere between $30,000 and $50,000, and you could select him and get him. He obviously went on to become Roberto Clemente. But the Dodgers didn't believe that, so they put him in the Rule 5 draft. And that's the same thing with Johan Santana, who was a wonderful pitcher, as you probably remember. He was also a Rule 5 draft. That means a lot of people passed on him. The team he was with didn't like him very much, and so he was exposed to the Rule 5 draft and then taken and became a superstar. But we've seen this a lot, and that's why I said, listen to what people want to offer you. You don't have to trade these guys, but you're not doing your team a very good service if you're not listening to what everybody has to tell you, because you just might hear something that knocks your head off, in which case you have to make this trade. And I think anybody is tradable on just about any team.
Take me back to that moment Friday night in the third inning where Crochet, it looks like he's about to K guy up from the Red Sox, blown call on the check swing, and then the inning kind of briefly gets away from the good guys, and then the Red Sox take the lead, and Crochet comes back out there the following inning and just starts mowing guys down over and over again. I mean, this is still a very young, a very inexperienced starting pitcher. I was, as much as just the stuff, I was impressed by sort of the fortitude that Crochet ends up showing in a moment where, yeah, there were some expectations. And, I don't mind saying you even blamed a few of the expectations for what that night could mean to the White Sox ending that skid. And he really responded after the umpire kind of took a moment away from him. How impressed were you by that?
Well, I was obviously very impressed, as I am just about every time that Garrett goes to the mound. But there's two types of pitchers that every team that wants to win has to have. One is a closer. We all know what those guys are because we had Liam Hendricks for a few years, and at the time he was the best closer in all of baseball. You look at his numbers, and they will substantiate that. But there's also a stopper, and your stopper is a guy that's good enough to stop losing streaks. Garrett Crochet is one of those guys. Actually, Eric Fetty is one of those guys, and I expect that a lot of people will be calling Chris Getz and asking about Eric Fetty and telling him what they would like to trade for him, because there'll be a lot of teams looking for pitching. But as far as Garrett is concerned, you're talking about a guy that's right now, if he's not at the peak of his strength, he's right about there. And what he did, miraculously, was learn how to command, especially that cutter, to both sides of the plate. He has magnificent control for a guy that throws 99 or 100 miles an hour, but he didn't always have that. He worked on that, and that's what made him this year the pitcher that he's been, his ability to get the ball over the plate, keep the walks to a minimum, make sure that when a strike is called for, you can certainly throw it there. And I think he's made wonderful strides in the last year. And, the Sox have him in uniform. They have him under control for a while, and we'll see how this plays out.
Pedro Grifol, he's in a position as a manager where the talent available to him, certainly the healthy talent, is obviously not as much as some managers in baseball have to work with here. But you've gotten to watch his whole run here and the evolution that he's in the midst of perhaps going through in leading the White Sox every game. What are your observations of is Pedro Grifol any different right now at this point in this season than the first time he took the field as the Sox manager? In what ways has he potentially evolved?
Well, I think it's very difficult to truly evaluate everything that Pedro has done because you lose 101 games last year, headed for that this year perhaps, maybe not, maybe yes. But nobody will argue that the talent has been supreme in the last couple of years. And so I've talked about it a number of times, and it bears repetition. Sparky Anderson was known as one of the greatest managers in history when he managed the Big Red Machine, because every day he wrote Rose, Bench, Morgan, Perez, Griffey, Dreesen, Concepcion, and a little later George Foster in the lineup every day. And boy, was Sparky a terrific manager. And then Sparky took a 48-minute plane ride to Detroit, and Sparky became an idiot because Sparky finished last with the Tigers. Why? Wasn't that Sparky managed any differently. It's just that he had no talent. And 5 years later, the 84 Tigers went 35-5. They blew out the division, won it, I believe, by 20 games, and decimated the East. And Sparky became a genius again. Why? Because he had some really good talent. He had Kurt Gibson. a pretty good player. He had Jack Morris, a pretty good pitcher. He had other guys around them, the Whitaker and Trammell era, and they were a terrific team. So if this proves anything, it proves that if you don't have talent, I don't care who you are, you're not going to win in the major leagues. That's just the way this goes. There is no manager, even the best, that can win without talent. So that's a non-debatable issue. Now, has Pedro done some things wrong? Certainly he has, because when the Sox got him, he was a first-year manager. Now he's a second-year manager. He will still make some mistakes that a 10th-year manager probably won't make. But you have to go through a growing process and a learning process. Just as you're a player and you have to do that, if you're a manager or a coach in the major leagues, you have to do that. And that's where Pedro is at this point.
To the lineup, what are your observations of this power surge we've seen lately from Paul DeJong?
Well, Paul, you know, was hitting home runs in the mid-20s, and I think he might have gotten to 30 at one point. So he always had some power. And right now he's swinging it very well, which is good. The Sox brought him over to fill a gap before Colson Montgomery gets ready to go, and that could be any time now. We don't really know. But in the meantime, Paul DeJong has done a great job when this team is looking for some home runs. He's done a great job of providing them. And with three of the guys that we thought were going to hit some home runs, Moncada, Jimenez, and Robert, they all went down in a week. When they went down, it took the power and power potential of this team and just decimated it. And so I think that Paul has done a terrific job. And again, he's one of those guys that could very well be really enticing to a team that wants a little power, wants a guy who can play a couple different positions, and a guy who's swinging it real well. So the team that we're looking at right now for the White Sox is not going to be the team that we're going to see intact as we head closer to the trading deadline. I believe there's a number of guys that the teams that are going after the playoffs, there's a number of guys on the Sox that they will want. At least kick the tires on, see what it's going to cost them as far as players or years or money or anything else when you go to make a trade, and we'll see how that works out.
Before I let you run, Stone, there was a moment that took place in a game a couple of nights ago that, you know, because I tend to focus so much on development, especially with young teams in team sports like baseball, and I think it was Oscar Colas, I think it was Colas and Deloche in the outfield where you had the moment where they're like, they did run into each other, and Colas coming from center field. That miscommunication that takes place, what is the coaching point? What is the learning moment that they can each take from that?
Well, first of all, the center fielder is the captain in the outfield. But when the center fielder is going after a baseball, he's got to yell, "I've got it," as loud as he possibly can. That kind of communication stops you from running into one another. I think we saw it a lot early with Jimenez and Robert. Eloy was constantly banging into Robert, which is not a good thing, seeing as the best player on the team. But eventually, that's one of the things that led Eloy to being a designated hitter. But it's communications on both sides, and that instance was two young players. One guy who's played a lot of right field, that's Colas, but now he's in center. And just like in the infield, the shortstop is supposed to be the captain of the infield to call and get whatever he can. Same thing in the outfield with the center fielder. He calls and then gets whatever he can. In this case, Deloche did not give way, but that's going to probably be a one-off, and that won't happen again.
Stoney, enjoy the dry heat in Arizona. I hope you, I don't know if you golf much or anything, if you bring the clubs in situations like this, but enjoy it, whatever it is.
Well, thank you. No, I don't bring them on a road with me because as delightful as this is at 112 or 13, golf loses a little of its desirability.
That makes sense, especially when you're in a place like Arizona. It's only heating up in the desert. All right, enjoy yourself, Stoney. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Have a good rest of the show.
That is the great Steve Stone, of course, the voice of your Chicago White Sox. On Twitter, at Steve Stoney, is certainly a fun follow there as well. So I mentioned a topic I wanted to get to, and I got Steve Stone's thoughts on it. I got Zach Pearson's thoughts on it. We're going to get your thoughts on it here as well. But I kind of set it up as we get to the next segment about the various venues, because me and my family just came back from Guaranteed Rate Field yesterday. We had a blast, man. I got to tell you, we have a great time every time we go out there because there's very kid-centric areas that you can go to just to do different fun things. And, you know, team's awful. You know, I told you before the season about the guy from Australia who just said he's a White Sox fan, down under. We took our trip to Australia a couple months ago. Bloody wretched is how he referred to the Southsiders. And, you know, no lies detected. But just going to the ballpark and experiencing it, we always have fun, just as we did yesterday. But it did get me thinking a bit about the various venues in Chicago. And I'll tell you exactly what I want to get into and get your thoughts as we get through the remainder of this hour. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
But about the halfway point here, it's Monday night edition. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And I mentioned earlier in the show that myself, my family, we went out to Sox Park, took in the White Sox Red Sox game. Sox had won the last couple, ended up losing yesterday, but the game went to extras. So I mean, you know, there was some entertainment involved there. And what I tend to do when I go to baseball games is, especially because now we have a son, he's 6 years old. It would be one thing back in the day, we go to baseball games at different places and yeah, you can sit there the whole time, order stuff from different vendors and all that kind of thing. And you don't necessarily need to leave your seat, but even for me, especially with the length of baseball games used to be up until the last couple of seasons here, I get up and walk around a little bit. But now with a kid, it's almost like, for me, it's kind of a prerequisite. You know, my son, he's an active kid. He's a busybody. So just to get him to sit in a seat for the several hours that a baseball game might take, it's asking a bit much. But we tend to really enjoy when we go out to baseball games. We live closer to Guaranteed Rate than we do to Wrigley, but we've taken them to both. But we've gone to Sox Park more frequently than we've gone up to Wrigleyville, and we have a great time. And yesterday, you know, they have the standard kids zone that's already out there anyway. But in addition to the kids zone, they had other very kid-centric activities that were there to sort of take part in. You know, face painting and T-shirts and different types of food, and you know, then go up to the kids zone. Like I mentioned, to Steve Stone, he's up there. You go up to the, I think like the second level of the kids zone before you go all the way up. They got the Luis Robert race thing out there, and you're trying to set records. My very confident son just knew he was going to go out there and smoke Luis Robert at whatever distance that was. I don't know if it's 150 feet or whatever. It certainly looked longer than 90 feet, but maybe a little longer than 90 feet because there's just a bunch of tiny humans out there running it. But I think it was well over 100 feet. But whatever it was fun. We had a really good time out there. The weather was absolutely gorgeous. You know, we got great seats to the game and just had a grand old time. And yes, you know, would it be even better to catch the skyline if you're sitting from the seats with the stadium facing in a different direction? Sure. But it's been a lot of talk about the stadiums in town here over the last couple of years, and most specifically, Guaranteed Rate Field and Soldier Field, and whether or not these stadiums, these venues, not only whether or not they're up to snuff, but where will they move if the Bears and the White Sox end up moving them, and how will they set these deals up? I'm all for upgrading, but I don't feel as slanderous about Guaranteed Rate Field as a lot of other folks do. Maybe it's just because my standards aren't high enough. Maybe it's because when I go to sports games, you know, fortunately, I tend to, when I'm at a football game, I'm usually upstairs calling the game in the booth. Or when I go to a baseball game, my expectations, I suppose, could perhaps be a little bit higher. But and we had a great time out there. And we'll go to some more Sox games throughout the season. We'll go to some Cubs games as well. You know, we're at a point in the year now where the weather is going to be very agreeable in our fair city, and we like going outdoors, being outdoors, and experiencing some of those things. But it did get me thinking a bit just about these various venues we have here in Chicago. And it's one thing to look at the success, or as it currently is situated, the lack thereof from the teams in town, and to feel a bit downtrodden about that. And actually, I mean, Steve Stone made a point that I 100% agree with, in that the way your team is performing, the success or lack thereof of your team, can really impact your in-stadium enjoyment. How do you enjoy being at the venue, the arena, the stadium? A lot of that can be about the team success. It can adjust our perception of whether or not we're actually enjoying the venue itself. So I wanted to take it a little bit more macro, just beyond, you know, sort of, you know, the downtrodden feeling of not having a great franchise, a high achieving franchise in town right now. But how about just these venues? Because they've been in the news so much lately. I want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767 is the Score listener line, which is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Give me a call. Shoot me a text. I want to know from you, Score listeners, what is your currently your favorite venue in the city? I'm just interested in, you know, just like some positive vibes about these historic sports buildings, stadiums, and arenas that we do have here. Do you put Soldier Field at the top of the list? And maybe it's not only about this season, but just your time that you've been here observing, enjoying the Chicago Bears, or the Bulls, the White Sox, the Cubs, the Blackhawks, you name it. There have been a whole lot of times at the UC in recent years. When I had Zach Pearson on a little bit earlier, he ranked the United Center as his favorite venue to go to a sporting event in the city. A little bit of a blend of Bulls and Blackhawks, but he seemed to more, even more so veer towards his love of going to check out Blackhawks games. I mean, think about when they light the lamp after a Blackhawks goal. Think about Chelsea Dagger, you know, when it plays at various points throughout the game after a goal is scored. The national anthem at a Blackhawks game, and just how that has become this renowned event throughout sports. And then if other teams around town have a postseason game, when the Bears, they host a playoff game, they bring out Jim Cornelison to come out there and sing the anthem for everybody to shout through, you know, there's no rafters at Soldier Field, but, you know, to shout, you know, to go in full throat in support of the national anthem in those moments. Those are really cool things when you go to the UC for a Blackhawks game and you see Benny the Bull out there, or when the lights go out at the United Center. It used to be when it was at the stadium in Chicago when I was a kid, and hearing it there for the Bulls intros, and just how, especially when they were rolling and Jordan was in his prime and the Bulls were winning championships, that became this national event that folks wanted to hear and witness the Bulls starting lineups. It's been some good stuff, some cool stuff at the United Center. It's still a really fun place to go and watch a game, to take a game in. You can say a lot of that. I've talked about Guaranteed Rate already. I mean, Wrigley Field, you know the history of what it's like with the Cubs. And I love the way, over the past decade, let's call it, that the Ricketts family has found ways to upgrade Wrigley Field, to enhance the accoutrement, you know, to enhance the facility itself and the experience for fans as they go out there to Wrigley to check out the Cubs. But you still have that history. You know, like we're going to go, like I mentioned, my wife's from New England. We're going to go out there at some point in the next couple of weeks, see my in-laws. We're probably going to bring our son to Fenway Park for the first time, a historic ballpark, a historic venue within a neighborhood. So it's a little bit inconvenient to try to go there and park. So we're going to take the T. You know, they don't call it it's not the L in Boston. It's the T in Boston when you go to a game there. It's just a good time when you go to some of these stadiums. Really curious for your thoughts on that. And before I take a time out, I want Tyler Butterball, I want you to crack the mic a little bit and kind of let me know how you're feeling about things, because I know you love going to sporting events. You're an outdoorsman, as we talked about a little bit earlier in the show as well. But, you know, when you're kind of looking at and evaluating just the experience at the stadium, and for you, just as a Chicago sports lover, do you have a stadium that you definitely look at and say, this is what tops my list when I go out to a game?
So to me, I'm in between United Center and Wrigley Field. Okay. Just because Wrigley Field, with the history behind it and just the ivy, like, it's so unique with that. And I don't know, every time I just go to Wrigley Field and like all the new additions that they made with like the changing lights and like the big board, like just everything there, there's so much history. And that's kind of why I would put Wrigley at there. But the United Center, I just love for the entertainment, because I've been there for both the Bulls and a Blackhawks game. And in-house, they really know how to keep the fans entertained, and like in between, like during timeouts or in between periods and halftime, like that kind of stuff. And they really bring it like entertaining. If you're not even that far into like watching the game, it's just being there and enjoying all the experience, stuff like that. I think United Center kicks it, and not to mention Benny the Bull is probably on the top of all-time mascots for sure.
Yeah, man, there's no doubt. And because Benny the Bull has gotten all this national acclaim, I mean, that's even one thing when we took our trip to Australia earlier this year. The teams that were, I'd say, most well represented as far as just people in Australia, you know, true Australians who were there, you know, domestically in Australia, born and bred, living there, saw a bunch of White Sox gear and talked to a few folks about it over the couple of weeks that we were there. Certainly aware of Liam Hendricks, love Liam Hendricks, but some of these folks, long time White Sox fans, or just love the script Sox logo that's there and like the color scheme with the black and white colors. A variety of reasons, and for whatever reason, saw no Cubs gear, which really surprised me, but there was a lot of Sox fandom. But the other squad, like, there were several different American sports franchises that were well represented. A lot of Yankees gear down there. But, of course, so much Bulls gear because of the international brand that the Chicago Bulls became throughout the 90s. So you go, I mean, we've gotten to travel a lot over the years, my wife and I. There's not a country I go to where I don't see Bulls gear somewhere, somehow, with folks representing the Chicago Bulls who may have never been to the city of Chicago, seen a Bulls game in person, but the Bulls are a brand that are well represented. You're talking about Wrigley Field a little bit, and you think about things like, of course, flying the W, you know, being able to raise that flag after a Cubs victory. Go Cubs, go. That really hadn't even been around that long, but, you know, whatever it's been. I don't even think it's been 20 years yet for that song, but now everybody's into it, even though it's still a fairly new tradition to play Go Cubs Go after a Cubs game. But folks dig it, they're into it, they love it, they hang out for it after a Cubs win, and that's just a part of the experience that's there, melding some of the new with some of the old, some of the history in that historic ballpark. So I'd love to hear from you at 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Just which one do you rank at the top? You've been to a variety of sports venues here in Chicago. What is your favorite? Where do you love with the Chicago sports team? What is your A number one place you like to go watch a game at? Is it Wrigley? Is it Guaranteed Rate? Is it Soldier Field? Is it the United Center? You name it. I want to hear about it next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
One other thing I enjoyed going out to Sox Park yesterday, I had mentioned earlier, I've had a Negro League baseball jersey for, I got to ask my wife, probably at least a good 15 years plus. And I usually tend to wear it to baseball games. And for years, when I wear it out there, and it's basically, it's got the Negro League Baseball logo in the middle of it, and it's got a bunch of different historic Negro League Baseball logos and emblems just kind of dispersed all throughout. And I don't know, jersey might, maybe doesn't even accurately describe it. It's almost like a sweater. It almost has more of like a hockey sweater kind of drape and size to it, but it's just got a wide variety of Negro League baseball teams all around it. And for years, whenever I wear this thing to a game, there's always positive reaction and positive comments about it. And then certainly in light of the recent news about Major League Baseball essentially enveloping Negro League baseball statistics into their history, then, you know, it wasn't anything new for me to wear it to a baseball game, just because that's what I tend to do anyway. But certainly got a number of comments with people appreciating the jersey, the sweater, the shirt that I had on at the Sox game yesterday. So that was nice, and it was good. And it almost seemed like folks kind of went out of their way to recognize, like, hey, love the shirt. Hey, love the jersey, man. That's great. Look at those logos and that sort of thing. So I appreciated folks appreciating what I was wearing and kind of what it represented, of course, for the history of the sport. 312-644-6767 is the number. To get involved in the discussion, the topic that I'm talking about right now is just the various venues, the sporting venues around the city of Chicago, and what's your favorite? You know, just coming back from Sox Park yesterday, we always have a great time when we go there, and yesterday was no exception. The weather certainly helped, but just as a sporting venue, the food is impeccable. The sight lines, I find them to be exceptional also. And a bunch of activities available for kids. Even after the game, my son and my little nephew both went out onto the field and ran the bases after the game also. We just had a great time and really enjoy going to that ballpark. 312-644-6767. There's some texters I'll get to in a moment. Also, but we got Joe from St. Charles on the line, wants to talk about pros and cons of some of the venues that he enjoys going to in Chicago. What's happening, Joe?
Hey, you know, the best thing about any park in Chicago is, and I'm not a Sox fan, but the last time I went, I sat in a skybox and I took an elevator up there instead of walking ramps, and that gets my vote.
You're a man who likes a little leisure in his travels, I must take it then, Joe. That must be what Joe is into. And I can appreciate that as a man who's had surgery on both knees, multiple on the left and more knee surgeries and back surgeries on the way. Yes, stairs can be rather taxing and often quite painful when you have to deal with that, especially whether you're crossing a certain age range or whatever the case might be. So I'm with you on that, Joe. When you got an elevator that's available, and, you know, I think yesterday by Sox standards for this season was a decent-ish crowd. Plenty of Red Sox fans in the house, including my lovely wife. But, you know, even though there was an okay Sox crowd in the house, it looked like them, like my mother using the elevators, it looked like the elevators weren't necessarily overly packed and were fairly easy to access. So that was certainly a good thing as well. 312-644-6767. Got Mike from Byron, who's on the line as well, with maybe some off-the-radar sort of options in our stadium conversation. What's happening, Mike?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Again, I agree with you that Comiskey Park, and that's the name of it, is the best food on the south side. I agree with you there. But where I live is just south of Rockford, and what we have out here is the BMO Center, BMO, and they are the farm team of the Blackhawks, and this is a great venue for a farm team, and we get a lot of the guys to come down and up. You know, they transfer from the Blackhawks down to the farm team here, and it's a great little center, a lot of good food, friendly people, easy in and out. That's what I like about it.
There's a lot to like. I haven't been to that one yet. No, I appreciate the call, Mike. I haven't been out there yet. But for the Ice Hogs to be able to have the type of engagement and the fan involvement, like on social media, it looks like there's a lot of folks who are, you know, fairly rabid in their support of the Ice Hogs. But I haven't made it a point to go out there myself yet. And there's actually someone I noticed on the text line a bit earlier as well, a 309 texter saying that, you know, it might not be Chicago proper, but for those who get priced out of tickets at some of the bigger venues and major pro sports venues, the 309 texter says great venues are any of the minor league ballparks, South Bend, Kane County, the Quad Cities River Bandits, awesome along the river, and the price is better for the working man. So I can certainly appreciate that. The 309 texter, because that's a part of the thing here too. One thing we took advantage of with our tickets yesterday is, you know, my son goes to a Chicago public school, and CPS has a deal with the White Sox where they can get, you know, certain games. They provide discounted tickets if you you know, have this particular Chicago public school discount code that you get. So we took advantage of that. You know, we had, what was it, a dozen of us out at the game yesterday. Couple of different rows back to back. We kind of basically had almost a full section of the lower deck on lock by ourselves. So with me and a bunch of my family members, as we were just kind of spending the whole weekend together, and we just had an amazing time and really enjoyed it. And, you know, it's not something we always do that often together, but my sister's in town from down south. It's my mom's birthday over the weekend. We had the sex reveal of a child who's going to be joining the family in the months to come. So there's a lot. So we just said, you know what, Red Sox are in town. My wife's a big Red Sox fan. Let's just get everybody out there and kind of do the Red Sox, White Sox rivalry deal out at the stadium, and really enjoyed it very, very much. So I'm glad we did that. It won't be the last time we do it. I certainly guarantee that we're going to make our way out to the ballpark because of the convenience that's there too. It's a part of the discussion that's had about whether or not the Sox end up moving over to the 78, or if the Bears end up, you know, leaving Soldier Field and going elsewhere, then the access routes that are there to get into, out of these various venues is a part of that conversation and the concern that's there for it. So we'll see. We'll see how that part plays out. But I do know this. If you're going to go out there, have a good time. We certainly ended up doing that ourselves. One thing that was a little bit different, I was talking about the trip to Australia a little bit earlier, and we went to Australian rules football game, and we went to the Melbourne Cricket Grounds, which is a huge stadium, apparently the biggest stadium in the southern hemisphere of planet Earth. And so we went out there to the Melbourne Cricket Grounds, and we saw Richmond versus Port Adelaide in Australian rules football, the sport that new Bears punter Torrey Taylor, fellow Iowa Hawkeye, played some Aussie football as he was growing up. And at the stadium itself, the fans were rabid. They were into it. But one difference at the Melbourne Cricket Grounds, just at an Aussie rules football game itself, there were no vendors going up and down the rows. It was almost like they wanted to make sure everyone had the opportunity to be as focused on the action on the field as humanly possible. So there weren't a lot of other distractions going on. They did have a big video board out there. You got replays and stats and scores from other games around the league that were up there. But it wasn't like at every stoppage in the action, there was a song being played or some sort of a marketing ploy or a t-shirt cannon that's running out there. There weren't a lot of other distractions and stimulus that were out there during the game. There was the action on the field. And then whenever there was a stoppage in the action, then each fan base at different points would just get up and kind of have their own chant going and their own flags waving. And, you know, it was kind of raucous, but it wasn't like a soccer hooligan kind of vibe to it or anything like that. It was just a fun and vibrant atmosphere that was there. That was one of the bigger differences as far as going to American sports venues versus the time we spent over in Australia going to a game over there. You know, it was a situation where there weren't a lot of other distractions from the action and just kind of the enjoyment of the interaction that folks in the stands were having. Now, if you wanted to place a bet, you could do that. If you want to go back into the concourse and get some beverages or some food, you could certainly have access to that. But when you're there in your seat, you're kind of focused and locked in on the action. That was a little bit different, unique from what we experience here in the States. That was something that stood out. But appreciate you all taking part in that conversation about some of the sports venues here around Chicago. Do want to talk about some hoops news and some things that happened. I mentioned being a fellow Hawkeye. There's certainly been some basketball news that has taken place with one of the most popular, one of the most famous Iowa Hawkeye greats that has ever graced Iowa City. We will talk about that, and I'll let you know exactly what I mean next here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
One other thing I enjoyed going out to Sox Park yesterday, I had mentioned earlier, I've had a Negro League baseball jersey for, I got to ask my wife, probably at least a good 15 years plus. And I usually tend to wear it to baseball games. And for years when I wear it out there, and it's basically, it's got the Negro League baseball logo in the middle of it. And it's got a bunch of different historic Negro League baseball logos and emblems just kind of dispersed all throughout. And I don't know, jersey might maybe doesn't even accurately describe it. It's almost like a sweater. It almost has more of like a hockey sweater kind of drape and size to it. But it's just got a wide variety of Negro League baseball teams all around it. And for years, whenever I wear this thing to a game, as always, positive reaction and positive comments about it. And then certainly in light of the recent news about Major League Baseball essentially enveloping Negro League baseball statistics into their history, then, you know, it wasn't anything new for me to wear it to a baseball game just because that's what I tend to do anyway. But certainly got a number of comments with people appreciating the jersey, the sweater, the shirt that I had on at the Sox game yesterday. So that was nice, and it was good. And it almost seemed like folks kind of went out of their way to recognize, like, hey, love the shirt. Hey, love the jersey, man. That's great. Look at those logos and that sort of thing. So I appreciated folks appreciating what I was wearing and kind of what it represented, of course, for the history of the sport. 312-644-6767 is the number. To get involved in the discussion, the topic that I'm talking about right now is just the various venues, the sporting venues around the city of Chicago, and what's your favorite? You know, just coming back from Sox Park yesterday, we always have a great time when we go there, and yesterday was no exception. The weather certainly helped, but just as a sporting venue, the food is impeccable. The sight lines, I find them to be exceptional also, and a bunch of activities available for kids. Even after the game, my son and my little nephew both went out onto the field and ran the bases after the game also. We just had a great time and really enjoy going to that ballpark. 312-644-6767. There's some texters I'll get to in a moment. Also, we've got Joe from St. Charles on the line, wants to talk about pros and cons of some of the venues that he enjoys going to in Chicago. What's happening, Joe?
Hey, you know, the best thing about any park in Chicago is, and I'm not a Sox fan, but the last time I went, I sat in a skybox and I took an elevator up there instead of walking ramps, and that gets my vote.
You're a man who likes a little leisure in his travels, I must take it then, Joe. That must be what Joe is into. And I can appreciate that as a man who's had surgery on both knees, multiple on the left, and more knee surgeries and back surgeries on the way. Yes, stairs can be rather taxing and often quite painful when you have to deal with that, especially whether you're crossing a certain age range or whatever the case might be. So I'm with you on that, Joe. When you got an elevator that's available, and, you know, I think yesterday by Sox standards for this season was a decent-ish crowd. Plenty of Red Sox fans in the house, including my lovely wife. But, you know, even though there was an okay Sox crowd in the house, it looked like them, like my mother using the elevators. It looked like the elevators weren't necessarily overly packed and were fairly easy to access. So that was certainly a good thing as well. 312-644-6767. Got Mike from Byron, who's on the line as well, with maybe some off-the-radar sort of options in our stadium conversation. What's happening, Mike?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Again, I agree with you that Comiskey Park, and that's the name of it, is the best food on the south side. I agree with you there. But where I live is just south of Rockford, and what we have out here is the BMO Center, BMO, and they are the farm team of the Blackhawks. And this is a great venue for a farm team. And we get a lot of the guys to come down and up. You know, they transfer from the Blackhawks down to the farm team here, and it's a great little center, a lot of good food. Friendly people, easy in and out. That's what I like about it.
There's a lot to like. I haven't been to that one yet. No, I appreciate the call, Mike. I haven't been out there yet. But for the Ice Hogs to be able to have the type of engagement and the fan involvement, like on social media, it looks like there's a lot of folks who are, you know, fairly rabid in their support of the Ice Hogs. But I haven't made it a point to go out there myself yet. And there's actually someone I noticed on the text line a bit earlier as well, a 309 texter saying that, you know, it might not be Chicago proper, but for those who get priced out of tickets at some of the bigger venues and major pro sports venues, the 309 texter says great venues are any of the minor league ballparks, South Bend, Kane County, the Quad Cities River Bandits, awesome along the river, and the price is better for the working man. So I can certainly appreciate that. The 309 texter, because that's a part of the thing here too. One thing we took advantage of with our tickets yesterday is, you know, my son goes to a Chicago public school, and CPS has a deal with the White Sox where they can get, you know, certain games. They provide discounted tickets if you you know, have this particular Chicago public school discount code that you get. So we took advantage of that. You know, we had, what was it, a dozen of us out at the game yesterday. Couple of different rows back to back. We kind of basically had almost a full section of the lower deck on lock by ourselves. So with me and a bunch of my family members, as we were just kind of spending the whole weekend together, and we just had an amazing time and really enjoyed it. And, you know, It's not something we always do that often together, but my sister's in town from down south. It's my mom's birthday over the weekend. We had the sex reveal of a child who's going to be joining the family in the months to come. So it was a lot. So we just said, you know what? Red Sox are in town. My wife's a big Red Sox fan. Let's just get everybody out there and kind of do the Red Sox-White Sox rivalry deal out at the stadium. And really enjoyed it very, very much. So I'm glad we did that. It won't be the last time we do it. I certainly guarantee that. We're going to make our way out to the ballpark because of the convenience that's there, too. It's a part of the discussion that's had about whether or not the Sox end up moving over to the 78 or if the Bears end up, you know, leaving Soldier Field and going elsewhere, then the access routes that are there to get into, out of these various venues is a part of that conversation and the concern that's there for it. So we'll see. We'll see how that part plays out. But I do know this. If you're going to go out there, have a good time. We certainly ended up doing that ourselves. One thing that was a little bit different, I was talking about the trip to Australia a little bit earlier, and we went and saw Australian rules football game, and we went to the Melbourne Cricket Grounds, which is a huge stadium, apparently the biggest stadium in the southern hemisphere of planet Earth. And so we went out there to the Melbourne Cricket Grounds, and we saw Richmond versus Port Adelaide in Australian rules football, the sport that new Bears punter Torrey Taylor, fellow Iowa Hawkeye, played some Aussie football as he was growing up. And at the stadium itself, the fans were rabid. They were into it. But one difference at the Melbourne Cricket Grounds, just at an Aussie Rules football game itself, there were no vendors going up and down the rows. It was almost like they wanted to make sure everyone had the opportunity to be as focused on the action on the field as humanly possible. So there weren't a lot of other distractions going on. They did have a big video board out there. You got replays and stats and scores from other games around the league that were up there. But it wasn't like at every stoppage in the action, there was a song being played or some sort of a marketing ploy or a t-shirt cannon that's running out there. There weren't a lot of other distractions and stimulus that were out there during the game. There was the action on the field. And then whenever there was a stoppage in the action, then each fan base at different points would just get up and kind of have their own chant going and their own flags waving. And, you know, it was kind of raucous, but it wasn't like a soccer hooligan kind of vibe to it or anything like that. It was just a fun and vibrant atmosphere that was there. And that was one of the bigger differences as far as going to American sports venues versus the time we spent over in Australia going to a game over there. You know, it was a situation where there weren't a lot of other distractions from the action and just kind of the enjoyment of the interaction that folks in the stands were having. Now, if you wanted to place a bet, you could do that. If you want to go back into the concourse and get some beverages or some food, you could certainly have access to that. But when you're there in your seat, you're kind of focused and locked in on the action. That was a little bit different, unique from what we experience here in the States. That was something that stood out. But appreciate you all taking part in that conversation about some of the sports venues here around Chicago. I do want to talk about some hoops news and some things that happened. I mentioned being a fellow Hawkeye. There's certainly been some basketball news that has taken place with one of the most popular, one of the most famous Iowa Hawkeye greats that has ever graced Iowa City. We will talk about that, and I'll let you know exactly what I mean next here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.